From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia urges ASEAN, China to help maintain regional stability. G20 agree to support health protocol harmonization. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, and China as comprehensive and strategic partners to cooperate on maintaining regional stability by ensuring that the impact of global crisis does not spread to the region. As reported by Antara, he delivered the remarks in his opening speech at the 25th ASEAN-China Summit at Soka Hotel in Phnom Penh, Cambodia on Friday. He said that the first thing that have to be tackled is food security. With a population of more than 2 billion, ensuring food availability and accessibility is a formidable task for both ASEAN and China. Regional food security is a main priority. He further explained the region is still susceptible to disruptions of food supplies. G20 member countries have agreed to support the building of health protocol harmonization networks between countries, which will help maintain economic stability by allowing the movement of people and goods amid the pandemic. As quoted by Antara, according to the Indonesian Health Ministry's Secretary General Kunta Wibawa Dasanugraha, during the G20 updates event on Friday, this harmonization comes in the form of travel certification collaboration between countries. He added, if a pandemic occurs again, countries will not need to implement the regional quarantine. This international network connection is being encouraged to be one of the important points for the G20 summit. He remarked, health protocol harmonization will become a bridge between countries, especially those within the G20, to remain connected. The Indonesian National Research and Innovation Agency has urged the younger generation to collaborate on research and innovation development, noting that the interest of Indonesian youngsters in science is severely lagging compared to other countries. A researcher from the agency's Preclinical and Clinical Medical Research Center, Reza Yuridian Purwoko, pointed out during the agency science show on Friday, as quoted by Antara. He explained that Indonesia has abundant resources. The role of the younger generation is to optimize their potential through technology. Secretary General of the Indonesian Health Ministry Kunta Wibawa Dasanugraha on Friday, as quoted by Antara, said that the health ministers of G20 nations have agreed to perform a pandemic fund to mitigate gaps in COVID-19 pandemic handling budgets. The agreement is the result of the second head ministerial meeting in October 2022. G20 is a multilateral cooperation group that comprises 19 countries and the European Union. Indonesia, which is holding the presidency of the grouping this year, will host the G20 summit in Bali this month. The donor countries comprises, among others, Australia, the USA, the United Arab Emirates, and Indonesia. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. U.S. President Joe Biden arrived in Phnom Penh, Cambodia on Saturday morning local time for a series of summits and meetings between the U.S. President and leaders of Southeast Asian nations. As reported by CNN.com, the weekend meetings in Cambodia comes ahead of the highly anticipated Group of 20 summit next week in Indonesia. On the occasion, President Biden will meet with China's leader Xi Jinping for the first time in person since he took office. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, meetings, along with the Sunday's East Asia Summit, which is also being held in Phnom Penh, will be a chance for the president to speak with U.S. allies before sitting down with Xi. President Biden will hold a bilateral meeting with Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Sen as he looks to build on a summit between Biden and ASEAN leaders in Washington earlier this year. A holiday cruise ship carrying about 800 passengers with COVID-19 has docked in Sydney, Australia. The Majestic Princess cruise ship arrived in Circular Quay, having sailed from New Zealand. As reported by BBC.com today, about 4,600 passengers and crew were aboard the ship when it docked, meaning around 1 in 5 had COVID. The outbreak is reminiscent of the Ruby Princess cruise ship COVID outbreak of early 2020, where at least 900 people tested positive and 28 died. Marguerite Fitzgerald, the president of cruise operator Carnival Australia, said a large number of cases started to be detected about halfway through the 12-day voyage. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Oh,
The first news comes from Pekanbaru, Riau. The Riau Customary Law and Indigenous Forest or Imbok Ayo Community, the Sakai Bathin Sombanga Tribe in Bathin Solapan District, Bengkalis Regency, Kusumo Ampai, received recognition from the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry. Riau Governor Samsuar, in a release received on Wednesday, said that this recognition was given in an effort to protect assets and ensure the prosperity of the local indigenous community. The acknowledgement of customary law was submitted by Governor Samsuar in the form of a decree. Previously, 7 indigenous peoples and customary forests in Riau received recognition from the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. The next news comes from Aceh. Wali Nanggro Aceh, or the leader of Aceh, Tengku Malik Mahmud Al-Haytar, invited experts from the Republic of Tatarstan, the state of Russia, to Aceh to conduct a study related to the management of cultural heritage in Aceh province. The invitation was conveyed by Malik Mahmud during a visit to the Republic of Tatarstan some time ago in an effort to explore the cooperation in managing Aceh's cultural heritage. The majority of the population of Republic Tatarstan, Russia, is Muslim and also has a lot of historical heritage. He assessed that the history of Islam in Aceh is the same age as the Republic of Tatarstan. The Russian state has historical and cultural heritage that is included in the list of UNESCO World Heritage Sites so that it becomes one of the considerations for Aceh, for the cooperation. The latest news come from Buleleng, Bali. The Santi Budaya Art Studio Singaraja City Buleleng Regency Bali represents Indonesia to the Thailand International Folklore Festival 2022 as an event to promote world peace in an art frame. The head of the Santi Budaya Art Studio, Igusti Ngurah Eka Prasetya, in Singaraja on Wednesday said that the opportunity to perform in Thailand comes because last September they won second place in the choreography competition at Seonan, South Korea. Santi Budaya brought 11 child dancers aged 13 years. Besides showing Balinese dance performances, Santi Budaya was also involved in world peace declarations, seminars, and cultural exchange. The Thailand International Folklore Festival 2022 took place in Surin, Thailand province from November the 2nd to 9th. The organizer were the government of Surin, Thailand, FIDAF UNESCO, SIF Thailand, and Surindrat Rajabat University of Thailand. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on November 12, 1945, when Sudirman was elected as the Great Commander of the People's Security Army, or TKR, or now known as the Indonesian Armed Forces, or TNI. Great General Retired TNI Sudirman was an Indonesian national hero who fought during the Indonesian National Revolution, and in the history of the struggle of the Republic of Indonesia, he was recorded as the first and youngest Indonesian commander and general. When Sudirman was 31 years old, he had become a general. When the People's Security Army, or TKR, was formed after the proclamation, he was appointed to be a commander of Division 5, Banyumas, with the rank of colonel. Through the TKR conference on November 12, 1945, Sudirman was elected as commander of the TKR, commander of the Indonesian Armed Forces. Now we move to an event on November 12, 1991, about the incident of Dili. The Dili incident, or better known as the Santa Cruz Massacre, was a shooting incident against demonstrators in East Timor. The incident killed more than 250 people. Initially, youths and students staged a protest against the Indonesian government related to the death of Sebastião Gomes, who was reportedly shot by the army. Their action protest was held at the funeral procession for Sebastião Gomes. During the funeral procession, the students held up a banner asking for self-determination and independence. At that time, the army was fired. The incident left 271 students dead, 382 people were injured, and another 250 disappeared. We end today in history with an event of November 12, 1996 about plane crash in Indian skies. An accident involving two commercial aircraft occurred in the skies of Charki Dadri, Haryana, India, on November 12, 1996. The plane crash involved Arabian Airlines Flight 763 route Delhi, India to Dahran, Saudi Arabia with Air Kazakhstan's Flight 1907 route Simkent, Kazakhstan to Delhi. Based on reports, 349 people were killed in the crash of the two planes. From the information gathered, the accident was caused by the fault of negligence of the pilot of the Kazakhstan Airlines plane. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Orang jahat.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on President Joko Widodo emphasizes participation of businessmen and young generation for ASEAN economic future. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded the Southeast Asian region to remain vigilant even though the economy in ASEAN countries remained positive when the world was hit by a wave of crisis. The president was speaking at a meeting of ASEAN leaders with the ASEAN Business Advisory Council in Phnom Penh Thursday, November the 10th. President Joko Widodo said that ASEAN's global gross domestic product was still above $3 trillion. The Indonesian head of state added, ASEAN is the fifth largest economy in the world. He reminded that the partnership between the business world and the government must be strengthened. He said that the role of the private sector is very important. In the short term, President Joko Widodo encourages ASEAN to strengthen economic resilience. This requires countermeasures and adaptive government macroprudential policies to stabilize finances and stimulate economic movement. According to the president, the private sector must also watch the crisis carefully. Be careful, but move quickly for adaptation. He added, speed and accuracy in adapting are important to ASEAN's economic resilience. Meanwhile, for the long term, President Joko Widodo stressed the importance of increasing ASEAN's competitiveness, the key of which is innovation. The digital economy and green economy are the future of ASEAN, he said. According to the president, the digital economy is able to increase productivity and expand market access, while the green economy ensures ASEAN continue to grow and be sustainable. President Joko Widodo also emphasized green economic development in the meeting of ASEAN leaders with ASEAN youth at the Soka Hotel in Phnom Penh on Thursday. According to the president, the current regional economy must rise stronger and must be a turning point for green economic development in the region. Low carbon development and sustainability is the economy of the future, he said. He emphasized ASEAN youth must be at the forefront of promoting the future economy for a better region. President Joko Widodo hopes that ASEAN youth can become leaders of change because their active participation will determine the future of ASEAN. That was My Indonesia Today.
Have fun together. Come on, party on forever.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Waterfall of Cipanas Nagrak, West Java. Listener, Bandung Regency is not only well known as a fashion city, but also as a repository of beautiful natural tourism destinations. It is because the Bandung area is surrounded by mountains. The existence of Mount Tangkuban Perahu, Bandung, is able to create more than one hot spring tourism spot, such as the famous hot spring baths, namely the Ciater Hot Spring. But now, there has been a hot spring bath which is not less beautiful in the tourism area of Lembang, Northern Bandung, namely the Nagrak Bathing Tour, or more often called Curug Cipanas Nagrak Kancah Bandung, West Java. Listener, Cipanas Nagrak Waterfall is a waterfall with warm sulfur source from Mount Tangkuban Perahu. Administratively, this waterfall is located in two villages, namely Nagrak Village, Lembang Subdistrict Sukajaya Village, and Kancah Village, Parongpong District. Curug Cipanas is a waterfall which is not too high. The splash of water forms a waterfall, and the pool below, which is dammed to be a hot spring bathing. This Cipanas Nagrak waterfall has turquoise water bathing. Listener, because of the sulfur content, the hot water at Curug Cipanas Nagrak is believed to be able to cure various skin diseases and also nourish the body. When bathing, you can put things safely in the luggage storage area. While bathing, you can also enjoy the beautiful scenery. You will feel the sensation of soaking in a comfortable hot pool in the middle of nature. At the area, you can also set up a tent and enjoy snacks made by local residents that can shake your tongue. Listener, if you are in Indonesia, West Java, Bandung, please take the time to visit Curug Cipanas Nagrak Kancah, which is about 17 kilometers from Bandung. Soaking in hot water will be able to relieve your fatigue. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye!
Only listen to yourself, go figure. Say what you mean. Say what you really mean to say. Back to you, it's easy. But honey, I choose to be okay again today.
Just to be okay.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, in today's edition of Miscellany, we talk about the National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIN, that updates knowledge on security, safety, and protection against nuclear hazards. The agency stated nuclear issue is very important and a concern for everyone. According to the head of the agency's Nuclear Energy Research Organization, Rohadi Awaluddin, nuclear radiation technology, including ionization, has been used and applied to various fields, including industry, health, food, etc. Through a recent event with the theme, The Role of Radiation Protection on Sustainable Development Goals, BRIN wants to increase knowledge about the security and protection of nuclear technology. Meanwhile, researchers from the Research Center for Metrology Safety Technology and Nuclear Quality of the agency, Eka Jatnika Nugraha, conveyed information about natural radiation exposure in Indonesia, based on research conducted on comprehensive radiation dose assessment in terrestrial environment. Study of the health of populations living in areas of high natural radiation can serve as a potential source of information on the effects of chronic low-dose exposure. To obtain scientific evidence on the health effects of chronic low-dose radiation exposure, then it is necessary to conduct a comprehensive environmental assessment of the existing exposure situation in the areas of high natural radiation. Another resource person from Hirosaki University, Yasutaka Omori, explained the importance of society knowing the population dose, either from exposure to natural radiation or other radiation. Population radiation dose is an annual effective dose received from all radiation sources and evaluated on the average for the population in an area. This data will be used to measure the impact of nuclear disasters and radiation exposure in everyday life and human health. According to him, the dose population will change according to urbanization, for example, construction of sidewalk areas, concrete high-rise buildings, highly airtight houses, changes in eating habits, and testing should also be carried out periodically. At this event, there was a presentation of 25 papers that have been accepted and will be published in the International Journal of Radiation Environment and Medicine. The paper received is from BRIN researcher, Hirosaki University of Japan, University of Yaounde, Cameroon, Indonesian Nuclear Polytechnic, Pakuan University in Bogor, West Java, Bandung Institute of Technology in West Java, and Gajah Mada University in Yogyakarta. Well, listener, that was Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
For some tacos, food was the only thing in my mind, oh, until I saw this one fine homie, head of toast, fresher than the dairy. I don't usually do this, but boy, you got me asking, ¿cómo te llamas? What's your number? Can I take you home to mama?
Do you mind, girl, if I keep it super real with you? Girl, I know you barely know me, and it might be difficult. I only want one thing, it's you. I only want one thing.
really know how this thing works. When it comes to love, I'm a big dub. Should I do this? Should I do that? If I do this, will he be mad? From the moment I met you, I never could keep my cool. Got me melting like a little ice cube. Guess I don't need you, but I want you.
Do you mind, girl, if I keep it super real with you? Girl, I know you barely know me, and it might be difficult. I only want
still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Begitu Indah by Remember Entertainment. The song was composed by Piu and released in 1999. The song is in the first album of the Padi Band with the title Lain Dunia. The song Begitu Indah, which means so beautiful, tells about the compliment of a man to a woman. Alright listener, here is Remember Entertainment with the keroncong song entitled Begitu Indah.
Bila cinta menggugah rasa,
Voice of Indonesia.
Menjumpai hari suasana sepi, nikmati nafas alam tak berasa. Beragam warna terbayang sekilas, menyingkirkan luka tanpa diminta. Pernahkah ku sadar tanpa itu semua, dalam terang surya
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.